Now, again, that's the pleasure of the board. We raise the issue, raise the issue based upon the president saying that the board, you can see the motion, we got a second. And so now we're in position to online to vote whether or not we want to follow what we have done in terms of past practice or if we want to make an exception.
That's fine. Well,
everyone clear in terms of the voting board?
Yeah.
So Mr. Lacey's motion was to make an exception.
No, my motion is to follow board policy as it is stated in.
And agree with that. However, based upon the chairperson, the policy committee, there are some flexibilities there. So we're still in essence making an exception, if you will, to what we've done in terms of past practice. I just want to be clear in terms of the motion.
Okay, well, I agree that to follow board policy, BDBH.
Okay.
So the motion, so to vote on the motion is basically, okay, let them. So here we go. Ms. Isaacs. Mr. Lacey. Yes. Mims.
Yes.
Ms. Ernie.
Yes.
Taylor.
Yes.
Well, that was a long. That's fine. That was a long warm up to a very short talk. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I think it's the right thing to do. From the standpoint of meetings, of trust, building trust within the community, that's really the issue of what you're about to vote on. Is hiring someone to help you convey that trust to the community, to the press, to our constituents, to the people that elected you and the people who have given you the money to run our schools. So, came to my attention that you are going to hire on a no-bid contract a firm from Cleveland. And it's my general feeling that no-bid contracts done, you know, in any kind of a questionable or rushed way, generally bring distrust, especially in our community, which strongly believes in, you know, community, getting together, task force panels, study. In fact, we study things way too much. But I think that one of the things that's central in PR is that you know the community. You know that not listening to someone, not listening to the public, can cause way more problems. And I think you will agree that a lot of times people, when they feel that they're not listened to, they can become a major pain in the butt, as the school board has suffered with Loretta Cephas over the years. I mean, it's just part of the process when you shut the door on people, push them in the corner, this is what you have. I looked at the proposal that you're voting on, and I found it to be surprising from a standpoint, you know, this is what I've done my entire life, and I did not find substantive qualifications of what they were going to provide you. I really felt that the proposal was lacking, so I stayed up very late last night, and I wrote another proposal. I have some copies here. It's quite a bit different. It actually lays out what we're trying to do and the cost of services. That proposal that you were about to vote on says basically all additional services cost extra. And they have no identification whatsoever of what they're going to charge you for design, for video production, any of those other services. Plus, there's an open end. You will pay for them to drive from Cleveland and back at a per diem as established by government mileage rates. I find that irresponsible when there are so many talented firms area that could, that are one, connected to the community, two, can do the same exact work, and three, probably can do it better because they know the people who are influencers, they know who the people are that they have to call. There aren't many PR people that can have 15,000 people in their community reading them every month. I do. I think most of you have been to my site as Ravi.com. I don't know how many of you have been to the Next Wave, but you are aware that people have a discussion on that site, and oftentimes it is an alternate source of information to the Dayton Daily News, which all of you know has not been your best friend over the years. I think there's a lot of good going on in the Dayton Public Schools. I think there are amazing stories to be told, and to that extent, I have a team of people, including someone who's been nominated for two Pulitzers, who moved here from Montana to put her son in Stivers. We want to work on this project, not because we're looking for a job, but because we live here. You can find samples of our work. I'd really prefer if you went to the website and downloaded these proposals, you know, cover letters, because they have links in them that you can click on and follow through and explain things compared to, you know, what we hand out on paper. I'm sorry that I don't have enough. The printer decided to argue with me just as I was running out. But I tried talking to previous administrations. I spent some time with Dr. Mack. I've tried talking to Dr. Williams. I tried. He said, all along, Dayton Public Schools needs help in this area. There is no doubt in my mind that the way that you change the perception in the community will help considerably in the job you are doing. I think... She can't wait for me to be done.
No, I'm watching a stopwatch.
Oh, well, I trust her stopwatch. I should have started mine. I just hope that you take some time to consider it and also consider that I think you will have considerable fall blowback by hiring on a no-bid contract, including firm to come here and do the work, especially with a contract as vague as offered. I would suggest that you put this out to bid or make other such adjustments. You pass it, especially on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Any questions?
Yeah. Right. It's considerably less than what the existing proposal is, and it's based on work actually performed at an hourly rate as opposed to open ended. It can be done any which way you. It can be broken over 18 months, 2 years, 1 year, however you choose. And it's, you can terminate at any time after the first 3 months. But the initial investment is just a little more than what you would do with 1 month with the other firm.
Any more questions?
There are some short case studies in the proposal. There are links to websites. You might be familiar with some of the work that you've seen just because we've done work in this community. I think that the most identifiable probably was the rebranding of Mendelssohn's we did years ago, where we took it from being kind of a boring place for geeks to an exciting place to be a shopping safari for about a year and a half, and then it stopped being that when we left the account. For a while, Mendelssohn's was a cool place to shop. Now it's back to what it was.
Mr. Sarada, do you have any experience working with school districts?
I've done some work for Stivers over the years. In fact, we won an award for a little small campaign we did when they had their big concert at Schuster. We're doing one right now. It's always through the Seedling Foundation. It's not directly with the schools. But, you know, we've done those projects for Stivers. We've done, you know, I mean, I've been on an advisory committee at Kettering JVS for years. It's hard to say. I've been doing this for 20-something years. I can't pull things. But we've worked with a lot of nonprofits in the area. And we've won a lot of awards for our work.
Have you worked with any levies done work for school districts doing levies?
No, and I'm not a big fan of some of the political processes in this country, as you probably know from my past races. I don't particularly think that yard signs and you know, short slogans are really the way I want people picking and voting for levies or for our political candidates. I think we've denigrated ourselves by whoever spends the most money buys the most commercials. I don't think that's the answer. I think people should want to vote for a school levy because they know it's the right thing, because they feel confident that their school district is achieving something, not because they spend a lot of money saying, you know, warning people of cutbacks or threatening or scaring. I think that when you pay your school taxes, you should feel that you're getting something back. And it should be very clear what you're getting back. And stories like the success of DECA and the success of Stivers in nationwide polls, the outstanding number of, I mean, how many awards has Stivers won for various things, the jazz ensemble, I mean, the handbell choir, the list goes on and on. And I don't think those stories are told well enough. In fact, I had a woman on my site comment, I wouldn't send my kid to the Dayton Public Schools if you pay me. And then someone reminded her that she previously said she tried to get her kid into Stivers and was turned down. So what is it? I mean, that's the issue. And I think there are a lot of good people working in the Dayton Public Schools. I'm friends with four principals. I know people in the community. I know how to get to those stories. And I think we can help you using the web, using other technologies to do this in a much more cost-effective manner than what most agencies do. And when it comes to the levy, it shouldn't take a huge amount of money to convey it. And I think we've seen that, you know, even small budgets can have massive effects, like in the casino issue that we just had, where the casino backers far outspend the opponents, or better yet, the payday lenders. The payday lenders won. It was 100-1 in terms of dollars spent, but the payday lenders got voted out of the state. I forgot the casinos had the two casinos fighting each other. Sorry. But, you know, we've had complex issues on in the state with our smoking ordinance, where you had to vote no on one and yes on the other, and the voters got it right. I think this last levy, you know, after it being asked for three times as much and not having a substantial budget behind it compared to what happened this time, I think it was pretty much a gimme getting it passed comparatively. You know, and I think we can work on levy. I definitely know, you know, how to read the maps and read the figures from the Board of Elections and understand, and I know how to do polling. So, I mean, it's not that complicated if it comes time. But I didn't think you were in a position to go back to the voters for another levy right in the next 18 months. I'd like it to be easy for you the next time, but I don't think I would think that right now, with economic times being what they are, and just passing this last levy, that you're going to have anything until you have a lot more to show for it, that you're going to have a chance to make another ask.
Real quickly, you list a monthly return. Is this an industry standard? I came from an industry where we have an hourly rate not to exceed. We give an hourly rate.
Advertising's changed quite a bit since I got into it, and 20 years ago, the standard was based on what your budget was to buy in media, and you were guaranteed X number of dollars just from the media buy. If you're going to spend $1 million, the agency gets 15% right off the top, and it was funded as a discount, quote unquote, by the media providers. A lot of those discounts have disappeared. A lot of those types of arrangements, which actually encouraged the agency to buy more media and do less work, have gone by the wayside. But in order to be, most of the time we are a project-based business. My size firm, small firm, we're six people. Seven people, excuse me. We're, as a small firm, to work only on the projects that are assigned doesn't leave much room for strategic planning, doesn't leave much for undefined, unproject-defined projects. So in order to put the time in to prepare and bring ideas and everything else, it is typically you put somebody on a retainer for that purpose.
I just
Burgess and Burgess, you know, which I have read in great detail, which is aligned strategically to what we're trying to do in the district with regards to reaching out to the community, developing a strategic plan, improving our customer relations and our communication, both internally and externally. I have to disagree with Mr. Ezzelotti that the contract is vague, or that this firm does not know the community. Burgess and Burgess has been involved in the community for a very long time. I don't think the fact that their office is located in Cleveland is necessarily any kind of disadvantage these days. If you pick up the phone and call for service, so, you know, we can do things now that we never could do before. We are not looking for advertising necessarily or for graphic design. I think Mr. Burgess's firm has put themselves in the community as they work for the company and even for the students who come here for in support.
Point of order. Okay, we seem to have moved from asking questions of the public speaker into the actual motion.
We're
moved into discussion of a contract. Now this contract was moved and seconded. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Who moved and seconded this?
Yvonne,
when we first opened it, we had Yvonne and Stacy moved to take it off the table.
And then they also moved.
So it's off the table.
And then we had both.
They did both.
Yeah. They did both.
In the same order, they did both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
So if we're in discussion, I do have some discussion.
Okay.
Isn't
there something?
But yeah, I wanted to know if we're in discussion, because I do have some discussion.
What's the rule on what needs to be open to the public for open bidding versus what does not need to be open to the public? Because wasn't that mentioned at the last meeting?
There was a response to that.
Yeah, I'm not real sure what that
I remember the answer. It's not policy, it's the Ohio Revised Code. It's a service. It's a personal. The term is personal service contract. The legal term is personal. And under the law, it's kind of, they're treating it as though it's like an actor. If you were to hire an actor, that's a personal service. No two actors would act the same way. You're saying like a carpenter is not a personal service. So the carpenter can be replaced by anybody. Under the law, this is a personal service. We're treating it as though this is a personal service, and that this guy cannot be replaced by him because he does things in his own way.
If I could ask
you,
my understanding on Tuesday is that your discussion with Mr. Burgess was
because you requested
information.
That was one.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that was why we tabled to wait until to allow you an opportunity to receive that information.
We never got to discuss in the contract, so I did have other questions. But now that we are in discussion, that I will for you.
Yeah. I want to make sure that we're within the law that we didn't do open bidding. I just want to feel.
We did get a legal opinion.
Under Ohio Revised Code for a personal service contract, which this is because of the question, this does not require a legal opinion. Well, I mean, it is a no bid contract. There's no, I mean, by law, we're allowed to get it non no bid, but personal service contracts are gotten by bid by general practice all the time. It's legal, but it's
I'm a good
the practice is up.
Any further discussion before I have the superintendent clarify his recommendation?
I mean, I do have discussion, but
okay,
we can hear. Okay, well, first off, to answer your question, I did request the polling results, and I wasn't getting those results. And eventually, okay, you did come to me, and you brought me the analysis of the polling results, and I appreciate that. You brought what they gave you, right, okay. The polling results, okay, just for your information in the future, it would be a document that has numbers, just a bunch of numbers. The analysis is just paragraphs that try to explain it in their explanation. When Mr. Burgess, and I want to talk about Mr. Burgess' discussion with us about his performance in the levy, the actual July poll, when he discussed the July poll with us at a December meeting, he discussed the poll results, and I believe he said that we were in the July poll, the starting poll, to see, you know, where we're going to go, you know, what kind of problems are we going to have passing this levy. He said we were at 43% and we were behind. I think basically, I think every one of us would understand that means that we're behind 43%. And I even put it into my head that means that the polling in July for that levy was 57-43. We're in trouble, you know, and we were in trouble. And he did a lot of really great work and brought us up to the eventual result, 57-43. Great. Okay. But when I finally got the polling results, I see that's not really what it was. Okay. The actual July poll states that we were at 43-43. It was tied. Okay. So he went from tied. This was a polling result I asked for a long time ago. I mean, I think in our original, when we sat down together, well, let's go back further. I think we had a retreat in Cincinnati where you said there's going to be a poll, and I'm looking forward to getting you the results of that poll. And then when we sat down together, the two of us, I said, I want to see the results of that poll. You told me at the time, well, I haven't seen the poll at that time. You said, I'm not sure, probably early fall. You said, I haven't seen those results, but some of the results poll to. Be that as it may, I still want to see the results of the poll. So I mean, when you said you just heard that I wanted the results of the poll, we've talked about my wanting to see the results of the poll quite a long time. Okay, the results of the poll, so it was tied from the start. So
was he working for us at that time, or was he working for the citizens?
At the time of the levy, or the time that we sat down and talked?
Was he working for us?
Why is it relevant?
Well,
if he was
working for us, then obviously he had an obligation to give us all that stuff.
I know he doesn't have no, that's fine. I understand that he doesn't have an obligation. No, at the time of December when he's telling us the results of the poll, okay, that's what I'm talking about right now. Basically he told us we were at 43%, and then we were behind. This is in December.
I remember.
Okay. And really, we were tied. Okay. In the past, right. I mean, that's fine. When he's not working for us, he has no obligation to give it to us. Janice Allen was a fiscal officer for issue 52. So, I mean, she could have gotten a copy. As being a fiscal officer for the committee. But I understand that he ordered it. So it's pretty much his, and we pretty much have to go through him. Be that as it may, I don't know that that gives them license to. I mean, if I ask for that information, at least he could give me a reason why he's not going to give it to me.
Yeah,
and I do, and if someone, I'm sorry, I have to floor right now. And if someone is gonna, I mean, someone is asking me for a $108,000 no bid contract. It's no bid. I don't care if you think it's wrong or right to say that. And he has a history of withholding information from me. I mean, I'm going to have to consider that. So really, he's talking about how great he did, but really he started at a tie. And then he was saying that he told us in December that he pulled that levy. Well, yes and no. Okay, he pulled a 5.5 mil levy. Okay, the levy was 4.9 mil. Now, would it still be 43-43 if it was less than 5.5? Out of 500 respondents, probably so. Okay, is that splitting hairs? Maybe, but now I think I come from an industry where, okay, if there's something that you're saying that's probably not right, then you have to tell the people that are relying on this information. Especially if you're telling people that you're asking them for a contract from this information. I mean, it just looks like he's not being completely truthful about this information. So it's a 5.5 mil levy. If it were, if they did pull on a 4.9 mil levy, I think it would be different. Like, people out of 500 respondents, yeah, I think it would be different. And we might have been ahead from the start. And then I did some calculations, and I'll pass those out. Oh, here they are. Basically, when I look at the cross tabs, we call them, you look at the numbers that he pulled. Okay, he broke down the polling into east, northwest, and southwest, and those are pretty much generally known areas by people that live in the area. East includes, you know, Old North Dayton and the southeast area. Southwest, he included downtown into southwest, but southwest including downtown and everything south of 35 on the west side. And northwest is everything else. So Frock and the northwest are in the northwest. I would say that when he did the polling, he really the Triad poll is listed third on there. 21% of his respondents came from the southwest. The southwest is our biggest supporter. It's much bigger than the northwest, much even more bigger, larger than the east. 21% of his respondents, and he can choose whether to accept the poll based upon how many people respond. 21% of his respondents were from the southwest. In the 2006 general election, the turnout for the southwest was 26%. The actual turnout was 26% for the southwest. The east side was overrepresented. So if you basically, if you're taking a poll and you overrepresent the side that is least supportive of you, you're going to get a specific result. So I think if he had taken a poll that was more representative of how this city votes, then he would have gotten a much more supportive result in the beginning. And then, I mean, basically, it would have become, I believe, a community that was very supportive of this from the very start. I mean, why he underrepresented the East Side in an election where this would be the first time we've had an African American at the top of the ticket of the presidential race. I think he knew what he was doing. I don't think this was done by accident. I think he knows his way around polls. But I think it's just another situation of where, at the very least, by refusing to give us that information, our understanding of what went on with that levy is very different. To go on with some other stuff, I have problems with accountability. Basically, it's hard to judge how he's doing this contract. To say that, yes, we're going to pay you this month, $6,000, because you've been doing it. Or, I mean, I think in the past we've had problems with this. In the past, PR firms. I've heard that people have problems with the level of what the PR firm was doing. They were doing something that I didn't expect. I have problems with this from the standpoint of inclusion. Okay, as a school district, we go we go way out of our way on contracts from the standpoint of inclusion. And to actually just take this contract where there's no bidding. I mean, we even have people who work full time trying to help so that we get local people in on contracts, able to do our contracts. But now in this situation, I think that's just being ignored. I mean, to say that we really care about inclusion and then to ignore it in this situation, I think. It says that we only really care about inclusion. As far as, as far as appearance's sake, I think it's just generally bad. And as far as appearance, it looks like he's getting a cut of the levy. Is this compensation for a work for what he did at the levy? I'm asking you a question. Is this compensation for a good job done on the levy?
Well, then you're questioning my credibility, you're questioning my integrity, and I guess if that's the route you want to go, that's fine. I was only going to clarify this whole issue by saying I want to take the board off the hook. This is not the board's recommendation. This is mine, based on prior experience, based on what I felt I needed to do my job. And I fully expect to be evaluated and judged on how I do my job. That's what I'm asking. I know I can be second-guessed. I can be micromanaged. A lot of what you're indicating here does bring into question my administrative capability. You're indicating.
No, I don't think it does. And I think I'm the one asking the question here. I have the floor, and I was just asking the question wholeheartedly.
Please, don't get uppity with me. I'm not.
No, I'm not being uppity. I'm trying to bring order to the meeting. I have the floor, and I'm not questioning. I'm not questioning your integrity.
You asked a question.
Okay, I asked a yes or no question.
No, you can't do that, Joe.
No, yes, I can.
You can ask it, and the answer is no.
Okay, no, it is not. Then he answered my question.
Hold on for a second. We're in meeting all the time you feel you need to ask questions. And we're not going to give the appearance of attacking anyone.
I don't feel like I was attacking.
Okay, we want to be clear. We have a civil conversation.
Business.
We have a civil conversation about this issue. You have some legitimate concerns and questions, and we're going to do everything we can to provide information. That's why we give you the floor.
Okay, I don't think that's an attack on your integrity when there is someone who's actually said that we're giving him this because he's done great work for the district. Is this, and so I'm simply asking, is this because of the great work during the levy? Okay, at the last meeting, our board member actually said that it's because he's done great work for the district. And if it's not, I want a little more clarification.
This is my recommendation.
Okay, and I'll just sum up. Our administrative costs are too high. I explained that in the last meeting. Okay, and this doesn't help. It's actually hurt. We're the worst performing district in the state. And our response to that is we need a little more punch to our PR vision. The response to that problem. We need more resources that go towards our instructional side and not the administrative. That's all I have.
Additional questions?
Yeah.
Okay. I've
bounced around on. I trust doctors. I mean, there's a lot here. It's easy to work towards putting together a huge plan for a huge district that's in trouble. You're familiar with that. I know if I was going to that I would want to work with somebody that I knew how they worked and that I had worked with them in the past, and that we could just hit the ground running together. I support the superintendent and what he's asked for. He's actually asked very little from us. However, I do want to say that I would like for a discussion, you know, to be had with Mr. Mayor, that we're a board that wants to have more clear facts and guidance. I too called him a couple of times, and he was very busy. He was doing a lot of work. He told me things that he had done and what he was working on, but then when I asked for specific questions, I didn't get the answer either. And that was like, I think, a week or so before the election. I had some people in the public who were saying, what is Paul saying? And I'm like, I don't know. So I called Mr. Bridges myself and asked for specific numbers, because that's what these people wanted. And what I wanted also. And he wasn't able to give those to me. Or I shouldn't say he wasn't able to. He did not give those to me. So I would like to have more clarity on exactly, you know, what he's doing, when he's doing it, which you've actually done a good job of with the administration. That's where I sat, you know. And that there is a little concern there on that inclusion issue also, but I think that that can be so that is a little local employees to local people to work, but I think if I was going to tackle this problem here, Dr. Stanek has walked in the door and said, I'm going to take the people who are already here, that live in this neighborhood, that work in this district, and I'm going to work with them, and we're going to get the job done. And I've talked to the administration that works with him, and they just love what he's doing. They just feel so included and so stimulated and so excited that if my superintendent wants to bring one person into me outside, I'm 100% on the ball with him. So that's why I said I trust his judgment on it, and I also trust that he will talk to Mr. Bridges and share with him what the feelings are and that these issues will be resolved.
Yes, in a couple of our prior meetings, particularly the whole time, after the levy, that it passed, a lot of discussions going on in the community. One of the things that came out of that was how we want to do it. It was on the front of the said president. I was thought about it. I was putting things together in my head. And we had a conversation and how we're going to do it. Dr. Stanek,
we have a lot.
If I could just add one last comment, certainly I think this board is committed to inclusion and to utilizing local people as much as we can. However, I think that the greater priority is to utilize the best people. If you will remember when we were looking for a superintendent, we interviewed first some local people and then we interviewed Dr. also from the same area as Mr. Burgess. And I think all of us, or most of us, but for myself, I think that the decision that we made to bring Dr. Stanek here, even over some local people, was one of the best decisions this board has ever made. And I am to lead this district and to lay the groundwork for where we need to go going forward now. It is not unusual for leaders, when they take on a new challenge, to bring sometimes one or more, or some people bring all of their teams, because they have that experience of working with them. Someone said earlier, Dr. Stanek is not an asset for very much at all. I really don't want to get into all the minutiae of necessarily rehashing who said what last. What I know is that the levy, and that for me is the end result that we were working towards. Burgess was very instrumental in that, I believe. As I said earlier, I'm fully confident given this proposal that working with Dr. Stanek, who knows them very well, knows their capabilities.
Just as like a point of clarification, Dr. Burgess here before I got
that was a point of clarification.
That's right.
Did the board hire Dr. Burgess before I got
Yes. We hired him. Not you. You didn't hire him. We hired him.
And as a point of clarification for the public, there are 11 less administrators who spoke in today than there were a year ago. I don't want you to thinking, because I know we're real good at half truths. I just want to say there are 11 less administrators in this building this year than at the same time there were last year. I am watching.
Okay, we have a motion. Also, basically, the significant amount of recommendations from those who have been involved in the human services levy, the Sinclair levy, countless number of other political subdivisions in the district. Again, I want to make sure we share that. One last comment.
I did call around, in part of my due diligence, I think I did call around. I couldn't find one that actually had a PI. I don't think it's necessary, actually. I think it's very successful just quite well. And I also want to add that, yeah, he was hired prior to the levy. He quit, and then he was no longer a part of the levy. And when he was working, what were they called before? Was he getting $6,000 a month? I don't know. Does anybody know?
What did he charge?
Yeah, go ahead,
Matthew. What did he charge you for the superintendent? For the
dean? I'm sorry.
He did a superintendent, sir?
I'm here because of it. What did he do Because I know Cincinnati spent $40,000. I don't know.
Right.
I'm asking you, did he charge you for it?
I mean, he was working for it, wasn't he? But I don't know what, yeah, I don't know what he was getting paid monthly. No, no one seems to know.
Well,
apparently.
I don't know. You, we voted on that contract in Florida.
Yeah, we'll have to look up and find out how much he charged.
But it was searching for a superintendent. It was not something that we were paid him to do.
It wasn't, I was going to say, it wasn't in the scope of the contract. I can ask you that. He had charged us a dime.
All right, motion on the floor. We have a second. Roll call, please, Mr. Lacey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ms. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Lacey, no. Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Mims?
Yes.
Ms. Nerney? Ms. Taylor? The 18-month contract.
Yes.
Ms. Thompson?
Yes.
The vote is 6-1.
Motion passed.
Mr. Israti offered the invitation. Which again, apparently, you've met with other people.
Yes.
I would welcome that. I have encouraged people to come see you.
Thank you very much. I was one thing I did miss. I do work on a personal services contract with Dr. Hopkins at Wright State. And I think if I can advise the president of Wright State, I think I am capable of working with Dr. Stanek as well. And I'm sure Dr. Hopkins would serve as a reference. But I do agree that PR is needed. Mr. Lacey is wrong because just a small amount spent on PR can make a difference between getting 100 more students. You make money when you get more students. Your fixed overhead doesn't change.
And I understand we have to watch how we spend our dollars. And that's,
right.
That's Mr. Lacey's point. It's a good one. I also am obligated as superintendent to see a big picture. You're right.
Let me give you my card and maybe we can set up a meeting for early next week.
Yeah, I would welcome the opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I got a couple of items. This is a
big one. All right.
If anybody else needs them, I've got.